the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong.
I'm singing, yes, Jesus loves me. Tells me
na 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 na
na na na na na na na.
In God promises to never leave me.
Forsaken. some more singing in a few minutes.
Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
James, the brother of Jesus and the elder, suggested that I take the vow and purification processes along with you four men. I will pay the expenses of having your heads shaved and the sacrifices of two doves, two lambs, a ram, a basket of unleavened bread, a meal offering, and a drink offering for each of the four of you. You are already taking the purification, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
How many days yet before the ceremonies end?
7, Paul, sir.
I'll start mine right away. In several days, I will talk to one of the temple priests and make arrangements for the completion of your ceremonies.
Greetings, Luke.
You were about to start your purification period.
You don't approve?
No, Paul, I don't. I didn't when James made the suggestion, and I still don't.
It will show all the people that the things said about me are not true.
It will also seem to indicate that you have done something for which you need to be purified, which is not true. James and the elders should have stood up and firmly denied what was being said about you. This would have stopped the opposition to you, among your own Israelite brethren, at least.
Oh, I'm sorry, Luke, that you feel that way.
There's just one more thing I'll say about it. Then it's up to you. By going through this part of the ceremonial laws, how can you possibly teach others that these laws were done away with when Jesus died on the cross? I don't think it will solve the problem at all. Rather, it is my opinion that it will cause trouble.
I do appreciate your concern, Luke, but I think it is wise to be an Israelite among Israelites.
At least, Paul, please be careful. The Pentecostal services have brought Israelites from all over the world. Many of them know and hate you. To enter the temple is to risk your life.
For several days, Paul passed in and out of the temple, apparently unnoticed. Before the end of the purification period, Paul sought a temple priest to make arrangements for the final ceremony for the four men.
It will be only a few days yet, and the four will be ready for the final purification ceremony.
You wish me to perform the ceremony?
Please.
You yourself will have to arrange for the temple barber to shave their heads.
I understand that, Your Highness.
Do the four have enough money? It takes considerable, you know.
I'm going to pay for everything.
Very well, then. You let me know when the four...
Look! There's that false teacher!
Is it not the same one who caused an uproar in our own city in Asia?
It surely is. He's desecrating the temple. That is a sin punishable by death.
Yes.
We can't stand by and permit that. Come, let's grab him.
What's the meaning of this?
Help! Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law of Moses and this holy temple.
They need help in the temple. Someone's causing trouble.
Really?
Someone called for help in the temple. Probably murdered under the priest.
Call for help! Temple! Help!
Temple!
Quickly!
Go to the temple! They need help!
Get them help!
In
trouble!
Just 1 minute, all of you! I was talking to this man, and you came rushing at him like maddened demons. Now, what is it about this man that causes all the commotion?
He's a heretic, a blasphemer, a liar. He teaches men everywhere to disregard the law and to hold this temple of no account.
That's right.
Furthermore, he brought Greeks into this temple and has polluted this holy place.
And by our own law, such a crime is punishable with death.
The cry for help moved the people in the temple to wild excitement. The news quickly spread throughout Jerusalem, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together.
Quiet, quiet, quiet! Men of Israel, that an Israelite should presume to profane the temple at the very time when thousands have come from all parts of the world to worship excites me to righteous indignation and anger. How about you?
I will not have all this confusion and disregard for the temple. Take this man out of here and do with him as you please.
Grab him, you! Drag him outside the temple. No, don't carry him. Drag him! Don't treat a blasphemer so tenderly. Drag him!
The angry people took Paul away from the premises of the temple.
People! We are going to punish this blasphemer properly, but how? Stoning causes death too quickly. Personally, I think we should beat him with our own fists until he's dead. And I claim the privilege of hitting him first.
I want someone to hold him?
Hold him, I should say not. Let him defend himself if he can. Here goes the first blow. Oh, he's not fighting back. He's a coward on top of everything else.
Now it's my turn to hit him.
You're going to die, preacher man.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Jesus makes the rainbow, Jesus makes the sun, Jesus makes the day and fills it up with fun. Jesus makes the moon to shine at night, and Jesus makes the stars so bright. Jesus makes the kittens, Jesus makes the pups, Jesus makes the chickens and the little ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
Jesus makes the bunny smooth as silk, and Jesus makes the cows warm milk. Jesus makes the flowers, Jesus makes the trees, Jesus makes the rain and makes the gentle breeze. Jesus makes the grass so fresh and green, and Jesus makes the air so clean.
Jesus makes my mom and dad and me,
and we're a happy family.
Hey kids, this is a sing-along song, so we'd like you all to sing along with us, okay? Here we go.
Jesus makes the rainbow, Jesus makes the sun, Jesus makes the day and fills it up with fun. Jesus makes the moon to shine at night, and Jesus makes the stars so bright. Jesus makes the kittens, Jesus makes the pups, Jesus makes the chickens and the little ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
Jesus makes the bunny smooth as silk, and Jesus makes the cows warm milk. Jesus makes the flowers, Jesus makes the trees, Jesus makes the rain and makes the gentle breeze. Jesus makes the grass so fresh and green, and Jesus makes the air so clean.
Jesus makes my mom and dad and me,
and we're a happy family.
Welcome to Live with Sam. I'm Sam, talking today with Abram, the smartest boy in our school. He gets an A in everything.
That's not exactly accurate. I got a B plus once.
Really? In what?
I don't want to talk about it. The pain is still too fresh.
Okay, let's talk about health. I noticed that you do a lot of walking and jogging and bicycle riding. May I ask why?
When you have a brain like mine, you've got to keep it in perfect working order. That requires a combination of good food, sound sleep, mental stimulation, and daily exercise.
So, to be smart, you have to be healthy?
Precisely.
So, what do you do to take care of your brain?
I'm glad you asked that question, Sam. First, I care for my body with nutritious meals centered on a whole food, plant-based diet. I refrain from imbibing sugary snacks and highly refined packaged edibles. Next, I stimulate my brain by reading the great words of skilled authors and listening to classical and cultural music selections from around the world. And finally, I succumb to a daily regimen of physical activity that requires a certain degree of exertion. I also floss.
Well, it sounds like you're very serious about your health.
Absolutely. To do otherwise would be, if I may use a grossly overused adjective, totally dumb.
Thank you, Abram, the smartest boy in school. I'm Sam with Live with Sam. Goodbye.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6.
And Romans 10:9 and 11 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 7, Lost in the Darkness. Dee Dee had been pulling on the dumbwaiter rope when she heard one of them snap and the elevator fall down the shaft. She heard wood break as the elevator hit something at the bottom. Dust blew up the shaft at her. "Jenny!" Dee Dee yelled down the shaft of the dumbwaiter. "Jenny!" For a long time she heard nothing. Finally, she heard Jenny's muffled voice. "I'm okay," Jenny shouted. "It was a scary ride, but I'm okay." "Where are you?" Dee Dee yelled down the shaft. "I can't tell," Jenny shouted back. "It's pitch black down here, but I think I'm in the basement." "Do you think the elevator will work?" "No," Jenny answered. "It's broken." "Do you want the flashlight?" Dee Dee asked. "Then you would be in the dark. Isn't there a light switch down here or something?" "There should be," Dee Dee said. "See if you can find it. I'll try to find a way out of here. If I can, I'll get help for you." "Good luck," Jenny's voice said from below. "We don't need luck, Jenny," Dee Dee answered. "Jesus and his angels are with us." "Dear Jesus," Dee Dee prayed, "Jenny is probably very scared right now. I know I'm scared, and I have a flashlight. Jenny is all alone in the dark. Please send your angels to help her. Amen." Dee Dee stood up and shone her flashlight around the dark attic. The beam from the flashlight reflected off cobwebs that hung from the wooden beams above her head. "Ugh, more cobwebs," Dee Dee said out loud. "God, why did you create cobwebs?" she asked inside her head. "Probably to keep girls like me from going into scary places like this," she answered out loud. She continued to flash the beam of the flashlight around the room. "Not much up here," she thought. She had expected the room to be full of boxes and trunks that would provide clues to the house's secrets. Instead, she found that it was almost empty. Then she noticed that there was a small window on the far side of the attic. She walked over to it and looked out. A full moon shone outside, and she could see trees swaying in the wind. The window looked big enough for a person to climb out. Did the hiding slaves climb out of the attic here and then to the ground using one of the oak trees? She wondered. She started to open the window, but it was nailed shut. "Someone didn't want me to climb out on the roof," she thought. "I'm kind of glad I can't. It's cold out there." She turned and looked around the room again. The light from the full moon shone into the far corner, and Dee Dee could just make out a large object that she had not seen before. It was nestled deep in the corner, almost out of sight. As Dee Dee shone her light on it, she realized it was very large, about the size of a large dog. "I wonder what it is," she thought as she took a couple of careful steps forward. "I'm feeling a little nervous up here all by myself." As she got closer, she saw that it was covered with a heavy canvas cloth. What could it be? Slowly, she walked across the attic until she was within a few feet of the big object. The ceiling slanted down near the edge, so Dee Dee had to scrunch down to get closer. Finally, she could reach it. She quickly realized that the shapeless canvas covering had been tied over the top of the object with a piece of wire. The wire had gotten rusty. It didn't take much effort for Dee Dee to bend the wire so it came apart in her hands. Moving the heavy canvas off the top of the object was a bigger problem. Dee Dee had a hard time finding a way to grasp the canvas. It was heavy oilcloth, and her hands couldn't find anything to hold on to. The edges of the canvas were tucked under the object, so she had no way to pull it off. Finally, she pulled one edge loose. By pulling it up and away, she was able to work the heavy cloth off the top and push it back behind the object. "It's an old trunk," she said out loud. "It was square on all four sides and rounded on top. And it's big enough for Jenny and me to both fit inside." She shone her flashlight at the trunk, and the brass corners, hinges, and latches shone in its light. "Wow," she said in a half whisper. On the front of the trunk were two initials, A.M. "This trunk must have belonged to Albert Morgan, Captain Morgan." She looked at the huge latch in the front with its giant lock. "Should I try to open it? I'm sure it's locked up tight. A man with as many enemies as Captain Morgan would have always kept it locked." Dee Dee reached over and tugged at the lock. To her surprise, it fell open. "Do I dare open the trunk?" she wondered. "I have to. The answers to a lot of our questions may be in here." Without waiting another second, she flipped the center latch up, turned the two side latches, and pushed the lid open. As the lid went up, Dee Dee's mind was racing. What could be inside? Treasure? Guns? Captain Morgan's whiskey? But the first thing she saw was just everyday clothes folded neatly inside the trunk. She carefully lifted the shirts and pants from one side and placed them on top of the others on the other side. Beneath them, she saw a layer of books. "Inland Navigational Techniques," Dee Dee read out loud. "That must be about sailing a boat on a river." The second book she picked up was called Shallows, Shoals, and Safe Harbors Along the Lower Mississippi. "I was right. Books about sailing on the Mississippi River. Well, they look boring to me," she muttered. She looked at the titles of a few more before setting those aside. Next, she saw a small white box. She lifted the box out and opened it. Inside, a brass instrument shone in front of her flashlight. It had a tube you could look into on top, with two brass legs front and back, and a curved something like a ruler on the bottom. She looked at the inside cover of the box. "Professional sextant, Boston, Mass," she read. "Sextant, huh?" she said aloud. "I know what that is. That's the instrument sailors used to tell where they were at sea by comparing certain stars to their horizon. Captain Morgan would be proud of me," she added with a grin. She put the sextant back in the box and set it aside. "What else do we have in here?" she asked aloud. Below the sextant, she found a stack of several small flags of different colors. "Wonder what these are for," she thought. At the very bottom of the trunk, she found something wrapped up in cloth. She pulled it out and discovered that it was heavy and cold. She carefully unwrapped it. The bundle became two. She set the small bundle down on the floor and unwrapped the other. What she discovered sent an electric jolt of fear into her. It was a gun. Glowing in the light of the flashlight was a large, heavy revolver. "I wonder if this is the gun Captain Morgan used for any of the bad things he did." Dee Dee didn't know if it was loaded, but she knew enough about guns that she should leave it alone. She carefully rewrapped it and set it aside. The smaller wrapped bundle turned out to be bullets for the gun. She rewrapped them quickly. There was nothing else to be seen in the trunk. Dee Dee carefully put everything back in the trunk the way it had been originally. She was just putting the clothes back in their place when she heard something scratching and crawling around behind her. "Who's there?" she hissed, grabbing her flashlight and shining it toward the sound. At first, she saw nothing, and she felt the hairs on the back of her neck stand up. Then she saw it. A huge rat ran from one corner across the edge of the attic and disappeared into a hole. Her heart raced in her chest for a minute, but then she realized that the rat was gone. "I hope it's gone for good," she said in a loud voice. Then she saw something gleaming in the corner. Closing the lid of the trunk, Dee Dee turned and walked toward the corner where she had seen the rat. Her heart started pounding again, but it didn't stop her from looking in the corner. Something was there, something shiny, and she had an idea what it might be. Dee Dee's hands were shaking when she reached the corner, but the wobbling light showed a big pile of shredded paper. "I was right," she said out loud. "It's a rat's nest, and it's a big one." Bits of colored cloth, sticks, spoons, and buttons were piled in the center of the nest, and right in the middle of it was Jenny's watch. Well, Dee Dee said aloud, that rat must have been the thief all along. She looked closer and found the missing key to the front door, still on its small chain, lying next to Jenny's watch. Just as she reached for the key and the watch, she heard a squeaky noise behind her. Startled, she swung her flashlight toward the sound. The front of the flashlight crashed against the boards by her head and shattered. Dee Dee was suddenly surrounded by darkness.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 7, The Clue in the Secret Passage, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.